Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about 10 productivity hacks you can use to ease your life. I'll have 6 ideas that work when writing a blog or other content. I'll have tips on things you should never do when terminating an employee. And I'll talk about the things you should never say to your employees. It's Thursday, July 25th, 2019. And I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. And I've been taking care of business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 79 degrees at 12:05, and today it'll be sunny with a high near 85 and a low of 62. For tomorrow, we'll have continued sunshine, a high of 88 and a low of 64. For Saturday, or as I call it, Fix the Patio Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 86 and a low of 65. And for Sunday, or as I call it, Keep Fixing the Patio Sunday, it'll be sunny with a high of 89 degrees and a low of 68. A great weekend for the Balloon Festival. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 124.05 to 27,145.92. The NASDAQ down 63.38 to 8258.12. S&P 500 is down 14.27 to 3,005.29. Oil is up 54 cents to $57.44 per barrel. And gold down $4.50 to $1,419.10 an ounce. All right, let's put Bachman Turner Overdrive back in the box, and let's start talking about the program today. If you're listening right now, chances are you're on your phone, you're on a computer, you're on a tablet. We'd ask that you open up another URL and go to Facebook.com and like, find, well, search, find, and like our program, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And this way you'll get updates midweek on anything that affects business. I'll put it there first. And then we'll talk about it as the program is aired live every week. And then we'll also take a few moments just to, you know, highlight what's going on at various points in the world of business. If there's something that I think affects things, we were just talking the other day with some people about the minimum wage. Many people didn't know that the New Jersey state minimum wage raised to $10 an hour effective July 1st. And they were scrambling, like, what do I have to do? And I said, well, obviously you want to call your payroll provider and make sure that everybody is at the right dollar limit so that obviously you're not going to get in any trouble with that. But there's a lot going on in the world of There's a lot going on in the world of business that I think you need to be made aware of. And so that's why we bring it to you here on this program every Thursday. Also, we bring you the quote of the week. It's brought to you every week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. This could be anything from a celebrity to a sports icon to a business person. But if it has or can be applied to business, I try to use it. Going way back for this week's business quote of the week, it comes from Socrates, who is the father of Western philosophy, who said, "The secret of change is to focus all your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new." So if you feel held back, I've been involved with a program that I've been studying for the last couple of months called Mastermind and Knowledge Business Blueprint. And one of the things in the groups that I'm involved in there that seems to be an overriding theme is that people are letting past mistakes, past fears enter into their mind. So they can't move forward because they keep thinking about what happened in the past. Same thing happens in business. If you struggled, if you had a certain failure or something like that, a lot of times people are afraid to take the next step and move forward. And I always tell people, just keep plowing forward. You know, you're going to make mistakes along the way. Learn from those, and then, do better the next time. Be guided as from those mistakes. There's mistakes I've made in business and in life that guide me every day in what I do now. That, you know, you can look back and say, well, I made that decision because this happened in 1984 or something like that. So again, the quote of the week. The secret of change is to focus all your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. So if you're in business, and we've talked about on the program this year, very heavy emphasis put on goals this year. Marketing goals, sales goals, whatever your goals for your business were, the first show, January 3rd, I came out and I was asking you to set up your goals for the year. And then I wanted you to chart those every month. Look at them every quarter and make sure you were trending in the right direction. And if not, if you had to do a reboot, you could. And that's kind of what the business quote of the week is talking about. And that is that the not to focus on the old, but to build the new. There's a chapter in my upcoming book called The Pivot Point, which I am thinking about sharing with you. I'm not going to do it today, but I'm thinking about sharing with you because at some point in your career, at some point in your life, there will come a time when you are faced with a certain challenge and it's an opportunity for you to pivot. Now, sometimes it's a person gets fired from their job. Sometimes it's a divorce. Sometimes it's they just want to change the way people are treating them. I give you in the book, I give you the example of what was my pivot point. And a lot of times if I achieve any success since then, I look back to that moment and I say, it wouldn't have happened had I not turned 180 degrees in the opposite direction and set my path in a different way. So ask yourself, if it's not working, if you're doing the same old that you do every year and your sales are about the same level, but you want them higher, you're not achieving the goals of 10% growth, 20% growth, or an extra 100,000 in sales or something like that, ask yourself, is it the customer's fault? Is it the product's fault? Is it your fault? And a lot of times it'll come back to you. If you're honest with yourself, it'll come back with you. We love to blame everybody else when something doesn't go right. But a lot of times it comes back to you. What change do you have to make in order to go on that upward trajectory and start building the new? So again, the quote of the week brought to you by Socrates. The secret of change is to focus all your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Breaking news today at last night's town council meeting, it was announced that the there is an offer out on the filling station property here in Flemington. That's where the beer garden is located. And also that Liberty Village has been sold. I don't know what the plans are for either of those properties or for Liberty Village. Would it be continue as an outlet location, or would somebody come in and develop that property? But at least some part of this town looks like it's moving in the right direction. In other breaking news, and again, I want to reiterate this one just because so many people were surprised when I mentioned this the other night. This is a different one, but the state of New Jersey's minimum wage bill is now at $10 per hour, and that's going to increase by $1 next year. But nationally, the House has passed a $15 minimum wage bill last week. The U.S. House of Representatives approved a bill that would gradually raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour over the next 6 years. However, the bill is not likely to be considered in the Republican-controlled Senate. The House voted 231 to 199 in favor of H.R. 582, with most Democrats voting for the wage increase and most Republicans voting against it. The current minimum wage of $7.25 an hour was set back in 2009, and Democrats argued during last week's vote that an increase was long overdue. Republican Congress members, however, argued that a $15 minimum wage would hurt a thriving economy and force employers to cut jobs and possibly go out of business. So again, on the national side of the minimum wage bill, Congress has approved it. It looks like the Senate will defeat it. I imagine that It'll never get to the president's desk, and so it'll be up to the states individually to change the minimum wage. I believe 8 states have already done that, and now we'll see if others follow suit. I want to talk to you for a minute about we'll do that one after the break. About the things that you should never say to your employees, and the reasons why, and that too seems to be a very long story, so we may have to wait on that because we only have about 2 minutes before the break. Let's do this. All right, let's talk about the things you should never do when terminating an employee. Now, this is the one area that business owners hate, managers hate, supervisors hate. When you have to let somebody go from your company, it's one of the most difficult aspects of being an employer is making the decision that you have to terminate an employee. Once you determine that termination is appropriate, then you have to plan for that discussion. Be careful what you say because mistakes here can lead to a headache down the road. So here are some examples of statements and actions you should avoid when terminating an employee. First, never deliver the news by text message, which a lot of businesses have started to do. When possible, you should inform the employee of your decision face-to-face. There may be occasions when a face-to-face meeting isn't appropriate, such as when there's a reasonable fear for the safety of coworkers or company property and you don't want the terminated employee coming back to the workplace. Then in such cases, you may need to inform them via a phone call. Don't terminate an employee in front of coworkers. Terminating an employee can have a negative impact on employee morale, and doing so in front of coworkers can make it even worse. The termination meeting should be held in a private location out of earshot of coworkers. Once the employee is terminated, let coworkers know about the employee's departure and explain who will be handling their work responsibilities in the future. Also, avoid disclosing the reason for the employee's departure. Meeting with the employee without a witness. It's always a best practice to have a witness in the room with you, such as an HR representative. Have them present during the termination meetings whenever possible. The witness can also take notes during the meeting to document what was said by both parties. Don't beat around the bush. Once the termination meeting begins, don't delay delivering the bad news. Clearly and concisely state up front that you are terminating their employment and provide a brief description why. For instance, the reason for this meeting is to notify you that I'm terminating your employment effective today because you didn't meet our performance standards. Don't make any false or misleading statements either. Now, while you may show compassion, such as thanking them for their contributions and wishing them well, avoid saying anything false or misleading to soften the blow. For instance, if you are terminating because of poor performance, don't suggest possible continued or future employment if they improve. Don't argue with the terminated employee. Give the employee an opportunity to speak and listen to their point of view, but avoid engaging in an argument. Instead, make clear that the decision is final. Don't forget to address final pay and benefits. Make sure you're prepared, and the HR rep can help you with this, to provide information about the employee's final pay and benefits during the termination meeting. Keep in mind that there are federal and state rules for providing final pay and certain notices to terminated employees. Additionally, depending on your state, you may be required to include accrued, unused vacation and paid time off if the employee's in the employee's final pay. So make sure you comply with all applicable laws. Withholding final pay until they return company equipment. As a general rule, you cannot withhold final pay until an employee returns company equipment, like laptops or something like that. You must meet the applicable final pay deadline even if the employee hasn't returned company property. Federal law requires final pay at the next regular payday, but several states have their own rules, some of which require final pay at the time of termination. Deductions. Now, while withholding an employee's final paycheck isn't permitted, there are some cases in which deductions may be allowed. For non-exempt employees, employees who are entitled to minimum wage and overtime, the Fair Labor Standards Act, the FLSA, permits deductions for unreturned equipment as long as it does not reduce the employee's pay below the minimum wage and does not cut into any overtime pay. Some states prohibit this practice or have additional requirements, so check your state law before making a deduction. Deductions for unreturned equipment are not permitted for employees classified as exempt from overtime. Under the FLSA, employers are generally required to obtain an employee's consent before making a permissible deduction. The agreement must specify the particular items for which deductions will be made, such as uniforms, equipment, or employee theft, and how the amount of the deduction will be determined. It's a best practice to obtain the employee's authorization in writing and consult legal counsel before making that deduction. And finally, both the decision to terminate an employee and notifying the employee of that decision must be handled with extreme care. So make sure everyone involved in the process is properly trained and knows their role. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We'll be right back with more after this.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100in-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, host of the program every week, as I've been doing for about the last 7.5 years. So glad that you can join me, and so glad that we can get together and talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is business. I wanted to talk to you on another level, because a lot of people either have started to be article contributors to LinkedIn, maybe they have a blog on their own website, maybe they have a personal blog or something like that. But what are the ways that you can reach more people with your blog? And you want to, in a sense, you want to hold them captive. You want to capture them at the first sentence and then have them read through the entire article. So I have 6 tips for you on blog writing ideas that really work. And the bitter truth about blog writing is the odds are stacked against your blog standing out and generating leads. The truth is the internet is saturated with similar content crafted around the model of a formula that works, with the irony being that it's worked so well that it no longer does. This situation poses a new challenge that every writer faces today, balancing between sticking to successful formats and going out on a limb with experimental approaches. Getting stuck sometimes is inevitable, but these tips that I'm going to give you are reminders that can help you refresh your memory and refresh your blog and hopefully get more engagement from the people that you want reading. The first tip is simply make a headline that hooks your readers. The first impression of your post, despite not having read your article at all, will come from the title. For more discerning readers, your title will influence the split-second decision that may or may not leave you with an additional click. So I always write the title last. I write the content, and then I come up with, was there either something in the article that I would use as my title, or do I need to somehow summarize the whole article in that one sentence title? Writing a body with the intention of crafting an incisive title lurking underneath the surface allows me to have my creative gears working peripherally while I focus on giving readers something to read other than something they just clicked on by the title. Doing so also enables me to later make a title that's reflective of what's in the post, so my readers get exactly what they expect from it. You want to start strong to keep your readers engaged. Now, while it's not uncommon to begin an article by presenting the problem premise, this normally comes with a hard, salesy light at the end of the tunnel. Starting strong is what they teach you in every elementary writing class, but it's not until you face the attention deficit online audience as a writer that you realize just how crucial this is to do. So a study by Microsoft found that people online can only focus on something for 8 seconds before becoming distracted. That is sad. You can only focus for 8 seconds. Now, distraction, as it works against writers, means looking for something else to read. Can you make a point in under 8 seconds that's strong enough to refresh your reader's interest? The techniques that have worked include beginning with a compelling anecdote or a provocative question, a surprise statement fact, a reference to relevant current events or industry developments. But to stand out, frame these in new and exciting ways that speak directly to your reader. Compelling anecdote or provocative question might be something like, do you want $1 million? Everybody would want $1 million. Now, do I read the next sentence to figure out how to get it? So you want to make that right up front, first sentence. That's got to be a grabber. You also want facts to be the difference between a blog and a tabloid. Persuasion requires fact, and it's easy to build up a bedrock of facts for a gripping narrative when all you need can be found on the internet. As a writer online, you have no viable excuses for giving your readers unbacked claims. If you have nothing to back up a point, it's a point that should not be made. Aside from the ethical responsibility, supporting your posts with facts builds an invaluable relationship of trust between you and your reader. Now, you've already told them with your title and hook that what you have to say is intriguing. Now you have to assure them that what you have to say is true and valuable. This gets the point across, compels them to digest it, and keeps them coming back to read more. Supporting information readily available online include relevant and peer-reviewed studies, authoritative infographics, and examples to prove that theory works in practice. So I'm going to say that something like, more small businesses today are investing in social media marketing. I know I need to link a survey or a report or an infographic in order to validate that claim. Think of a blog post as a vertebrate. It's not enough to simply have the statistics. You can give study after study, statistic after statistic, example after example, and still end up with an unconvinced so what. Bombarding readers with facts won't make an impact unless you give them some sort of story to follow. That's because facts are flesh, but the narrative is your spine. A narrative is what ties everything in a post together, establishing a link between one point and the next and giving collective meaning to the things you have to say and their supporting information. You take your readers on a ride through your points with a narrative that lends these points some logical cohesion and a flow to keep them going. You want to be genuine in your blog post. Readers can often tell when they're being sold and told a narrative is phony. Genuineness isn't something you will willfully create, but there are some things you can do away with the more obvious tales of being phony. Stay on brand, and while you're at it, make sure to familiarize and internalize the voice of your brand. You can tell when a post online is sponsored, even without seeing the mandatory paid for by tagline, because there are telltales in the voice of the writer trying to sell you something. So remember to keep the voice, no matter what you're trying to achieve, genuine. And then finally, leave with a call of a very strong CTA, or call to action. At the end of the article, a strong call to action is necessary. If you've practiced what you preach, readers at this point would be thoroughly convinced, allowing you to show the reader what you have to offer. So make these plainly worded with simple verbs, presenting a clear course of action on what to do next. Join an email list, sign up for a subscription, download a freebie. Readers can often tell once they've reached the CTA portion of a post, leaving barely enough time to sell what you want them to do. So short and incisive CTAs work best. These also have to fit with the narrative that you've worked hard to build, and that's self-explanatory. Writing blog posts can sometimes feel like drafting a drop in an ocean of content, but with trial and error, vigorous practice of all the above, and the courage to venture where others do not, that drop can have a big ripple effect. So, you know, hopefully if you're writing any kind of a blog or any kind of content that you want to share with others, you'll take those tips to heart, and hopefully it will help you. And don't be shy about asking people in that call to action a question that they would have to reply to, because that's another way of developing engagement. So you're going to want to make sure that, again, the call to action is going to be huge in how people relate to you and respond to that blog, or if they're even engaging at all. I want to talk about five ways to ensure excellent customer service for your small business. And we just got a letter the other day from a customer that told me he had gone to three other trophy stores. He listed them by name. I knew all of them. And he said that the people there were rude. They didn't respond. They didn't answer the phone. They didn't really want his business. And I felt bad about that. And then on Monday, this was Saturday, on Monday he wrote me an email praising my staff for their professionalism, for their customer service, for how they were able to get the job done so quickly, that I wanted to touch on this because this is a dying art. And I think if you go back to one of the first programs I ever did on this station, I mentioned that customer service is a dying art, and we're not paying attention to it. We just want to make everything transactional. I think that's part of the mobile phone world, that everybody just, you know, comes and goes. So providing excellent customer service is the ultimate key to business success. Whether you're a new or a seasoned company, customers want to know that you genuinely appreciate them. If a customer has a question or a concern, they want to know you will be there to answer it thoroughly. They expect professionalism at every turn. This is good since their support is the main reason you're in business in the first place. After all, how you treat customers affects every aspect of your business, especially your bottom line. So how can you ensure the consistent delivery of excellent customer service to your patrons? Here's five tips to make it happen. First, get to know your customers. Before you can crush the customer service competition, you need to know as much as possible about your customers to meet and then exceed their expectations. These steps include taking the time to research the most important aspects of your current customers, such as gender, age, interest, preferred communication methods, shopping behaviors, to create a profile or a persona of your target customer. You can then tailor your customer support outreach efforts to appeal directly to your customers. Then comes the adjustment in your attitude. Attitude is everything in customer service. A person can tell within the first 5 minutes if they want to buy your product or service or not just by talking with you. If you make it a habit of answering the phone with a negative attitude, you won't earn yourself much business, let alone a great reputation. You must always remain professional and respectful with all customers, no matter what. The key to excelling in customer service is to find ways to connect with the customer. For example, you can ask general questions to learn more about the customer and their interests. Listen to their responses and look for ways to build a relationship through small talk and recommend products or services to fit their needs. So pay close attention to how the customer speaks, the words they use, and the pacing of their speech so you can adapt your communication style to fit theirs, what we call mirroring. If they talk fast, you talk fast. If they talk slow, you talk slow. Do the unexpected. Go the extra mile. Let your customers know they're valued and appreciated. Get creative. Think outside of the box. Consider creating an email list to send special coupons for birthdays, posting a video message on your website thanking customers for their business, or mailing a branded item such as a company t-shirt or bag. If you're not sure what your customers would prefer, send out a survey and ask them how they would like to be acknowledged. For those who participate, send them a personalized gift as a thank you. The smallest token of appreciation goes a long way with your customers, both new and old. You also want to follow up immediately. When a customer contacts you, respond as soon as possible, ideally between 24 and 48 hours. Doesn't matter if it's a simple inquiry or a sales-related question, do not wait to answer them. More importantly, do not assume they will wait around for you to get back to them. While you're delaying, that customer has already started looking for the next solution, which may result in lost business for you. Your lack of follow-up signals to the customer that your business is not only unreliable and unprofessional, but lacks concern for their customers. Avoid this problem by creating a solid communication plan for following up with customers and then update it frequently. And if necessary, enlist extra help. Don't feel like you have to handle all of your customer service needs on your own. There are several options available to you, so consider hiring a part-time, full-time employee or outsourcing your customer support needs. You can even implement customer service software and support ticketing such as Zendesk or Zoho Desk to act as an all-in-one help desk. These programs can enhance the overall customer service experience. The quality of the customer service you deliver directly impacts your reputation. This also affects your ability to maintain a solid base of customers. So don't let a lack of money or time stop you from investing in one of the most important areas of your business. You don't want to be on the receiving end of negative online reviews or a damaging viral social media campaign as a result. So work on cultivating a business environment of professionalism, timely communication, and mutual respect. And you can achieve customer service success in no time. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. Going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, I have 10 mini productivity hacks that can ease your life. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news as the U.S. Justice Department announces it's going to reinstate the death penalty after nearly two decades. Attorney General Bill Barr ordering the death penalty related to five death row inmates convicted of murder and in some cases raping children and the elderly. He says in a statement, the department owes it to the victims and their families to, in his words, carry forward the sentence imposed by our justice system. Republicans say yesterday's testimony by the former special counsel in the Russia investigation, Robert Mueller, proves that it's time to move past that Russia probe. Representative Jim Jordan's a Republican from Ohio.
Most of the country knows the truth, which is there is no basis for impeachment. After yesterday's hearing, I bet more people in the country feel like there is no basis for impeachment.
He spoke on Fox. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gannot, the host of this program every week at this time. So glad that we can get together and talk about business. And hopefully some of the tips and techniques that we share with you here on the program will help you in your business. Also want to invite you to listen to other programs by going to 100andChamberRadio.com. You can look at the full list. We have lawyers, accountants, home improvement experts. We have counselors. All kinds of people that can help you with just about anything. So a lot of people put in a lot of work to be on the station, to prepare for their show, so hopefully you'll get something out of that. If you don't watch the Facebook version of the show on our website, you can go to the archives, pick the program, and then pick the date of the show that you'd like to listen to. They're archived on there for several years, so there's probably a lot of good information out there for you to be checking out. But what I want to talk to you right now about is productivity hacks that can help ease your life. And a lot of people have told me that, as I've been researching the book that I'm writing on, that they just don't have enough time in the day, or they feel like they have enough time, but they're not using it as wisely as they should. So I want to share with you 10 what they call mini productivity hacks that can ease your life. Now, in this day and age, 2019, we probably live in the busiest and most distracting time in history. And all the tasks we have to accomplish each day can be really difficult to complete when it's hard to focus. Depending on your age, I'm 58. Think back 50 years. We just celebrated the moon landing last week, the 50th anniversary of that. But think about when you were growing up. We didn't have all these different things pulling for our time. You know, we went outside, we played with our friends, we came home for dinner. And then even in high school, we didn't have 29 varsity sports to participate in. We had two or three, football, baseball, basketball, maybe swimming. Now it seems as if kids are being pulled in 17 different directions, parents are being pulled in 27 different directions, and you just can't focus on the task at hand. So everyone wants to be more productive, but many people don't know where to start. Or worse, they think that the key to productivity involves doing things that look like a major lifestyle shift. The good news, however, is that there are many small things you can do to make your life easier and more productive. And I have 10 what we call mini productivity hacks that you can start using today. The first is to post your 3 most important tasks. Now, one of the key things to realizing about productivity is that not every task we have on our plates is equally important. In fact, if we start listing out our tasks and assigning a number next to each one to denote their level of importance, we'll likely discover several tasks that we're responsible for that we honestly shouldn't spend any of our valuable time on. If you want to boost your productivity and get more done, a simple trick to start out with is making a list of the day's tasks and then determine the top 3 tasks that you simply must complete before the day is up. I do this every day on a whiteboard. The night before, I write what I want to get done. It gives me such great joy to erase those as I complete them. So write the top 3 down on a sticky note or a small whiteboard and have it in front of you all day so that you're frequently reminded of that and what you're working on towards and what has to be completed by the end of the day. There's also a thing called the Pomodoro technique. Now, the Pomodoro technique is a simple productivity strategy in which you pick one task that you're going to focus on without any distraction and without stopping for 25 minutes straight. That means you turn off the phone, you close your email browsers, you close the internet, and you're focused solely on this task for 25 minutes straight. When I do this, I set a timer on my clock or on my phone, and I'll set it for 25 minutes, door closed, email off, internet down. I don't work on anything except the task at hand. The key to the technique is to use the timer. Once the timer rings after 25 minutes, you can take a 5-minute break before launching into another 25-minute session of either that same task or a new task. The Pomodoro technique works well because your mind isn't as opposed to focusing on something for 25 minutes as it is for much longer periods of time. Your mind thinks, okay, I can do this. Knowing that a break is coming up in 25 minutes, many people who try this find that they achieve more during their 25-minute chunks than they do at any other untracked time of the day. You also want to block distractions. Distractions such as unimportant emails or social media posts can be the number one killer of productivity. When you have tasks that you need to focus on, you need a quick and easy way to eliminate distractions so that your productivity doesn't suffer. Before you start a task, put your phone on Do Not Disturb mode and use a service like Freedom on your computer to completely block out the internet for a set period of time. So what I've always enjoyed watching as I was researching the book is how many people are at work on Facebook during the day. And I talk about this in the chapter, the rule of the 3/8. You have 8 hours of sleep time, 8 hours of work time, 8 hours of personal time. Why can't you be on social media after work? Why do you have to be on at 2 p.m? That's taking away from productivity time. You also want to track your time as another technique to be productive. Have you ever considered how you use your precious amount of time you have available each day? If you're not tracking how you typically use your time each day, you should, because you'll probably discover a few things that are simply stealing your time. Track how much time you spend on your smartphone by using an app like A Time Logger to track where your time is spent. Do the same thing with your computer by using an app that runs in the background like Rescue Time. You may find yourself disappointed in the way you've spent your time, which should act as motivation to try harder the next time. Nothing wrong with showing up early. If you have a job that you have to be at anyway, why not show up a few minutes early? I always recommend 15 minutes, and use the time to chip away at some of your important tasks. Showing up early puts you where you need to be when the time for work comes, but it's also a convenient way to open up productivity time, because even a small amount of time can help you to be more productive if you use it wisely and remain focused. Then I want you to practice the 2-minute rule. This small, simple hack has been suggested by David Allen, the author of the highly popular book about productivity called Getting Things Done. And here's what it comes down to. When you know you can perform a task in 2 minutes or less, do it immediately. This makes sense. Why have something that will only take you a couple of minutes for later? Why save it? Get it out of the way so that you'll have more time later for that more time-consuming tasks on your list. When I write my list of things I have to do in the morning, usually 10 or 12 things, and I do prioritize them by number, I'm looking at what can I get done in 15, 20 minutes, 2 or 3 tasks. If I can get those done, now half my, a third of my board is cleared. move on to the next. And then those top, the really big ones, I'll work on them later. Also, you want to automate what you can. Many people have discovered that web automation service, IFTTT, if this, then that, to automate some of the tasks they go through each day. IFTTT uses recipes to set triggers and the results that follow those triggers. For example, if you miss a call, you can use a recipe to have a reminder created that will alert you later on to return that call. You can have your daily task list emailed to you at a certain time each morning to get you mentally oriented for the day's task, or have the tweets you favorite during your downtime saved to your Evernote for viewing later. The key to making automation work is to try some different recipes and see what works for you. Next thing, right here. Write it down. One of the most simple hacks you can begin practicing today is to write things down. In fact, it's one of the key factors that Sir Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Group, attributes to his personal and professional success. The act of writing things down, such as a list of the tasks that we have to accomplish or the processes we have to go through, helps your brain to more easily keep those things in mind as you're working toward your goals. And you have to be able to learn to say no. If not every task on your plate is equally important and you discover that some tasks just aren't worth the time you have available, don't just do everything anyway. One of the most important and powerful things you can ever do is learn the fine art of saying no. If a task doesn't help you to be productive and reach your personal or professional goals, why would you put it on your list? And then finally, take the time to recharge. Don't underestimate the value of a good night's sleep. When you work yourself late into the night trying to get tasks completed, you only rob yourself of the ability to give the next day's task your peak performance because you're not properly rested. Remember that not every task you do is equally important, and none of your tasks are worth losing valuable recharging time over. So start using some of these mini productivity hacks today and watch your productivity increase while your stress decreases. So again, just to go through the list real quick, 10 mini productivity hacks you can be using right now. The first is posting your three most important tasks. What do you, and I recommend doing this every night, put a post-it note on your computer, because a lot of times you go home, you have dinner, you're sitting with the family watching TV, maybe you go out and you kind of forget what you have to do the next morning. My wife is, yells at me constantly because every time she washes my pants, there's always a post-it note in it. So, but write that note, leave it on your computer, and then when you walk in the morning, it's like, oh yeah, I have to get those three things done. Practice the Pomodoro technique, which is 25 minutes on, 5 minutes off, undisturbed. Use those 5 minutes to check emails and anything else you want to do, but 25 minutes straight, you'll be surprised how much you can get done. Block out all distractions, social media, everything else. Even don't feel shy if you have it. Shut the door. You know, tell your staff, tell whoever you need some time. Show up early. I like to get to work about an hour and a half before we actually open. I get more done in that hour and a half than I do all day. Practice the two-minute rule. Any tasks that can be completed in 2 minutes or less, do them first. Automate what you can. Write down what you have to do. Learn to say no. And then finally, take time for yourself and recharge. You know, get a good night's sleep. Don't work 18-hour days. But if you're more productive during the day, you'll find that you'll have more time for yourself later. When you come back, we're going to talk about the things you should never say to your employees, not just when terminating them, but throughout their employment history. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, WHCRDB, on your digital player. So glad that you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of Taking Care of Business, and glad that we can get together every week on Thursdays at noon to discuss issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in Flemington and on the national scene as well. Every time I hear that song, I either want to play the guitar, I want to play drums, I want to play the keyboard, I want to do it all. I want to be like one of those guys that used to walk around with the bass drum and all the other different attachments, and just, I love that introduction, and it really gets my juices flowing when I hear it off air as well. All right, so let's talk about some things. This is HR Day here at Taking Care of Business. Things you should never say to your employees. There are times when you want to make everybody feel good and you say things and you have no intention necessarily of implementing them, or you can't implement them, but then they come back to bite you in the butt later. So let's go through some of those real quick. And that is, effective communication is key to a successful employer-employee relationship. Employers not only need to know what to say to employees, but what not to say as well. And if not carefully worded, certain statements may lead to decreased employee morale or result in complaints related to pay, discrimination, or wrongful termination. So here are some statements to avoid in the workplace. First are the promises. Avoid saying something like, "Don't worry, you'll always have a job with us." Now, if you promise an employee permanent employment, you may jeopardize their at-will employment status. At-will means you can terminate an employee for any reason, as long as the reason is a lawful one. To maintain at-will status, avoid statements that could be interpreted as a promise of future employment. Business conditions may change or the employee's performance may slip, and you'll always want to maintain flexibility to make employment decisions that are in the company's best interest. There are exceptions to at-will employment created by contract, statute, and courts or public policy. In addition, at-will employment is recognized in all states but Montana. You also want to avoid saying something like, "Once you get past your probationary period, you've passed the test." The test is always ongoing. So the probationary or introductory periods are sometimes used to assess a new hire's performance, but it can also lead to confusion regarding the at-will status. Employees sometimes mistakenly believe that once they successfully complete a probationary period, they are no longer at risk for termination based upon their performance. This misunderstanding can be created or reinforced by statements like the one I just mentioned and lead to increased risk of wrongful termination. You also want to avoid conversations about money. Money is tight this year, so there'll be no raises, but we'll make it up to you next year. And you didn't get the promotion, but you'll get the next one. The reason this is bad is that while you may have good intentions, an employee may interpret these statements as a promise of continued employment or a guaranteed raise or promotion next year. Don't make promises that you may not be able to keep. The employee's performance may not warrant a promotion next year, and or your budget may not allow for raises. Also, don't make problematic requests. Avoid saying something like, "You didn't get all your work done because there are still several errors. Punch out and finish up the time off the clock." Can't do it. Employers must pay non-exempt employees for all hours work. Off-the-clock work would violate that requirement. Instead, address performance issues through coaching, training, and, if necessary, a performance improvement plan or other forms of discipline. You also want to avoid saying, instead of overtime pay, I'll give you paid time off. For every hour of overtime, I'll give you an hour and a half of paid time off instead of extra pay. Does that sound fair? Under federal law, non-exempt employees are entitled to overtime pay, 1.5 times the regular rate of pay whenever they work more than 40 hours in a standard work week. Some states require overtime pay in additional circumstances. Employers in the private sector are prohibited from giving employees time off instead of overtime pay, a practice referred to as comp time. With certain conditions, state and local governments may offer comp time in lieu of overtime pay. You can also avoid saying, can you avoid mentioning your pay raise to coworkers? Under Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act, the NLRA, employees have the right to act together to improve wages and working conditions and to discuss wages, benefits, and other terms and conditions of employment with or without a union. The National Labor Relations Board, which enforces the NLRA, and many courts have found that pay confidentiality rules violate those Section 7 rights. Additionally, some states and local jurisdictions expressly prohibit such policies. You can let employees know not every employee is receiving a raise, but you cannot ask them to avoid sharing their pay with their colleagues. You also want to avoid saying something like, you want time off to vote? That all depends on who you're voting for. It cannot be done. Some states require employees or employers to provide time off for employees to vote. Many states also have laws prohibiting employers from coercing employees to vote a certain way. You also have to avoid, obviously, harassment. Stop, or if you are doing it, don't, but avoid saying, you look great today. Comments about an employee's appearance are generally inappropriate and may be construed as harassment or bullying. Unless your remark is related to a dress code violation, conversation should focus on employees' performance rather than how they look. You want to avoid saying something upon receiving a harassment complaint. They're just having fun. Grow a thicker skin. I don't have time for this. That's just the way they are. Boys will be boys. Avoid all of that and handle it as a serious situation, which it is. The reason for this is that federal, state, and local laws prohibit harassment in the workplace, and employers have a responsibility to take steps to prevent and correct unlawful harassment. Take all harassment complaints seriously and investigate each complaint promptly. If an investigation reveals that a violation occurred, take immediate and appropriate corrective action to remedy the situation. If you're in the investigation, during an investigation of a harassment complaint, don't say, I believe you. The reason is that during the investigation, you have to remain neutral, so avoid any statements that could put your impartiality in question. And in regards to discrimination, you can't just blanketly say, that doesn't happen here, I know them, and they're very good people. You have to treat it with the same level of seriousness as you would the harassment lawsuit. You want to avoid you wouldn't be interested in that promotion. It requires a lot of travel and you have a family. You can't make the assumptions based on employees' family status or caregiving responsibilities. Employment decisions must be made on job-related factors without considering an employee's caregiving responsibilities. They can always decline the promotion because of family responsibilities. You just can't assume that they can't take it. You can't say something like, we need to hire someone young to really understand this new technology, or we need younger employees to compete. Then you are getting into age discrimination with your employees, and you can't do it. Here's a question I have heard probably 100 times at work, and I cringe every time I do it. Not in my business, but when I'm visiting other businesses, somebody saying to a woman, are you pregnant? Even if an employee's pregnancy seems obvious to you, avoid asking the employee whether she's pregnant. Generally, an employee is under no obligation to inform her employer that she is pregnant unless she is seeking pregnancy-related leave or an accommodation. With regards to leaves of absence, all this leave you're requesting eventually will have an impact on your job. The reason that you can't say that is that many federal, state, and local laws give employees the right to have job-protected leave and prohibit retaliation against employees who exercise their rights to take that leave. If you want to take sick leave, you need to find a replacement worker to cover your shift. Again, it's not up to the employee. Several states and local jurisdictions require employers to provide paid sick leave to their employees. You also want to avoid, I don't think men should take parental leave. Can your wife take leave and be with the baby? That's all been changed with the Family and Medical Leave Act, so you have to leave that out of it. And then based on performance, avoid saying, your performance was perfect, so there's no need for a performance review. We're too busy to conduct performance reviews this year. All employees from the top performer on down should receive regular performance reviews. They're important not only for assessing past performance and giving praise when due, but also for establishing goals and communicating performance expectations for the next review period. You also want to say or avoid, tell the client I'm out of the office. I don't feel like dealing with him. It's okay to break that rule because I'm sure the boss and I am telling you it's okay. The reason is employees tend to follow the example set by their leaders. So if a supervisor ignores the rules or is dishonest, employees might follow suit. Establish an ethical business culture in which everyone from the chief executive officer to entry-level employee respects and follows the rules. When communicating with employees, choose your words very carefully and make sure they don't undermine your efforts to comply with applicable laws and promote a fair and productive workplace. Additionally, train your supervisors to avoid statements that could be problematic down the road. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their division in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Dodgers lead theirs in the National. In NASCAR news, Kevin Harvick held off a hard-charging Denny Hamlin in last week's New Hampshire 301 at New Hampshire Speedway. This was Harvick's first win of the season and locks him into a playoff spot. This week, the teams head to Pocono Speedway, also known as the Tricky Triangle because of the trioval configuration, for the Gander Outdoors 400 Sunday at 3 p.m. on the NBC Sports Network. What turn four? In NFL news, teams are reported for preseason workouts and training camp, and we are now 1 year away from the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
On Thursday at the Pentagon, President Trump participates in a full honors welcome ceremony for the new Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper.
At the Department of Defense, Secretary Esper will work with more than 2 million service members and hundreds of thousands of civilian employees, all dedicated to one critical mission, the defense of the nation and of this great nation's people. I have absolute confidence that Mark will ensure that our incredible military is fully prepared to deter conflict and to defeat any foe.
The death penalty is being reinstated by the Justice Department. Attorney General Bill Barr says in a statement that the Justice Department owes it to the victims and the families to carry forward the sentence imposed by our justice system. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Dallas-based Southwest Airlines has again extended its grounding of 737 MAX jets and asked Boeing for compensation for its losses. USA Radio Network's John Clemens explains.
The Dallas Morning News reports Southwest will not be using the 737 MAX jets during the busy Christmas season. Southwest is also closing operations at Newark Liberty International Airport in New Jersey as of November 3rd as it tries to juggle to the smaller fleet. The 737 MAX jets have been grounded since March 13th following two crashes in Indonesia and in Ethiopia that claimed 346 lives. No word as to how much Southwest will be seeking in damages from Boeing